Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. You look awesome. Thank you for being here today. We are continuing in our message series called The Voice this morning. If you missed last week's message, it was an important one. We addressed some big issues that are happening in our nation, not just on the East Coast and not just in Charlottesville, but in the entire community of what we call our country. And I think it's important that the church has a voice. Not only a voice, but really it should be the voice leading the nation. And so make sure you take the time to listen to that message. This week, on Monday, Lisa and I sort of are creatures of habit. As you know, Mondays are our date day. We spend the entire day together. And we sort of like to go to the same place. We go to this little teriyaki place on Douglas Boulevard, and we were sitting there. Eating, and we'd already finished our Fair Oaks roll, amazing, and we were both eating. She was eating her salmon plate, I was eating my chicken rice bowl, and we were sort of getting near the end of our lunch, and a family walked in, and it was two ladies and an older gentleman, and I think it was him and his wife and their adult daughter, and the ladies walked ahead of him. He was walking slowly. He was a sort of a larger man, and he was older, and he was walking with a cane. He seemed to walk with some difficulty, and the ladies kind of moved quickly towards the line to maybe get in line and start preparing their order. Lisa and I's table was on the left wall, and it was right next to the entrance door. To our right was a table, a wooden table, about this high, and it had plants on it, and it's been there forever, and large plants that have been there forever. We've been going to that place for a long time, and this man started walking towards that table very slowly, and I was kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye. It looked as if maybe he had a disability or something that caused him to not walk with ease, but as I watched him a little more closely, I realized he was having a struggle. It wasn't just an ongoing disability. He was having a moment, and he began to call out the name of either his wife or his daughter. I didn't know which one. And I watched him as he started to stumble in his step a little bit. And then he stiffened up, and then he began to seize. His whole body began to shake, and he called out their name again, and still they didn't hear him. And he began to collapse forward, and I ran over to him. I stood up immediately and jumped over. He was much taller than I was. He was probably 6'3 or 6'4, and he was probably 300 pounds or so. And as he was going down, I tried to wrap my arms around the back of him and slow his fall, but he just absolutely shattered this table with the plants on it, and plants went flying everywhere, and wood went flying everywhere, and glass went flying everywhere. And he landed on his side and plants on top of him. It was a horrible scene, and I was a little bit taken back and surprised that I was the only one providing aid to him. I rolled him over onto his back, and I put my hand in front of his mouth and to see if he was breathing. I began to ask him questions, if he was having pain in his chest, if he felt numbness in his arms, and not that I knew what I was doing, but I thought, if I just ask questions, I'll look smart and everybody will think I'm a hero. So I was hoping he answered all of those correctly, but what I realized was that the two people that he came in with were not there providing aid for him. I don't think it was because they were unloving, and I don't think it was because they didn't care. I think maybe because they were in shock. I don't know if sound can hear the clicking in my mic. Either I need to change or something needs to get fixed. It was interesting to me that they stood off at a distance, and I think part of it was that they were in shock, but as Lisa and I kind of got back in the car, thankfully EMTs were there within less than 2 minutes, and he was having a heart attack. He had had heart attacks and strokes before, and he had COPD, and he was just in really bad shape, and hopefully he was taken away and provided the medical care that he needed. I wasn't able to do anything else for him, but I was a little bit shocked as we stood up and we walked out of the restaurant to still see his wife and his daughter sort of standing back and almost observing this as anyone else in the restaurant did. But what I was more shocked about, and we talked about in the car, was that he called out their name. Not once, but twice, and we're not talking a large restaurant. We weren't talking a lot of noise, and I began to process, why is it that these people couldn't hear the voice of someone they had grown up with, someone they had been married to for years, someone that they were familiar with his voice? Was it because of the noise in the restaurant? Was it because they were focused on ordering? Was it because they were in their own conversation? Was it because maybe they were used to his voice and he usually was calling out for things they didn't think were that important? I'm not sure what reasons there were, but they weren't hearing someone that they clearly should have heard. 15 feet away as he called out twice, and the second time was with a sense of urgency and panic as he knew he was in crisis. And I wondered this about you and I. If it's hard for us to hear someone that we're 15 feet away from, that we're familiar with, that we recognize and know the voice of the person calling out our name, and it's audible, we can literally hear them using their voice box to communicate to us, how much harder is it for you and I to hear the abstract, intangible, ethereal voice of God? And the answer is, it's hard. Maybe you thought you'd come in this morning and I'd say, man, hearing the voice of God, so easy. I'm just going to tell you really two very simple steps and you're just going to all of a sudden start hearing the voice of God. It's hard. But it's not as hard as you think. You see, we sometimes like to make our walk with Christ more difficult than it really is so that we can sort of blame it for why we're not moving forward in our walk with Christ. Does that make sense? We want to make God this mystery that can't be solved. We want to make God this puzzle that can't be completed. We want to make communication with God so difficult that we just go, see, I can't even communicate. Even when I talk to him, he doesn't talk back. Listen, hearing the voice of God is hard because you have to work at it. Communication is not easy. Communication's not easy between you and I. How many times have you been in a misunderstanding? You said something and you thought, plain as day. And then your wife's staring at you like you just stabbed her in the heart, right? How could you say that to me? What? I said, dinner was great. But I heard the way you said it. Right? How hard is it for you and I sometimes to say the thing that we mean to say and for them to hear what we mean to say? And if it's hard between you and I, it gets even harder. But I want to tell you this, God wants to be heard. He didn't create us as these enigmas that he could never quite break the communication barrier, and we could never quite break the communication barrier with him. Where is my iPad? Oh, there it is, thank God. All right. It's like, this is about to be an interesting message. So grab your notes if you don't already have those out. I'm going to tell you four things that you can do to hear God clearly. But I want to tell you plainly up front, you have to put the work in to hear God. More importantly, you have to want it. Nobody is going to put the work in if you don't want it. And truthfully, I'm not sure we always want to hear God. Number one is this: if I want to hear the voice of God clearly in my life, I have to listen to where he's already speaking. So this feels sort of elementary and sort of common sense, but it's actually not something we do all that often, or at least as often as we should. We tend to, in the middle of crisis, or in the middle of wanting God to speak into a decision we're about to make, a big job decision, or moving our family across the country, or possibly the person you're going to marry, we tend to go, we believe that we're going to God, but what we're doing is we're going to people who know God. Right? We'll ask a friend, or a parent, a family member, a neighbor who's a Christian, because we hope that they'll discern the voice of God for us. Maybe we'll even come into a church service and hope that something in the service was relevant to the thing that we're going through. Or maybe we'll read a self-help book or a Christian inspirational book, and we hope all those things will help us. Sometimes we even pray And we'll pause for a couple seconds after we pray. We're like, okay, you're not talking back, I guess. And we'll move on. Rarely do we open up God's word and say, I believe that in here God will speak to my need. Do you know why we don't do that? Is because we are conditioned to believe that God should respond to us as Google does. Listen, I love Google. I love the instantaneous gratification of asking Google a question and getting a response back. And that we demand God in our prayer time to do that. Or when we open up his word, we demand that God somehow make that like a divine highlighter. Like we take our Bible and we let it fall open and we go, cool. In these two pages, that's all I'm going to have to read. And I'm just going to ask for God, like a roulette wheel, to just land right on the scripture. And there it is. And it says, and then Judas went and hanged himself. You're like, huh, I don't know. Don't know how that applies to taking out a mortgage for a new house. We want to enter in our question to God, and we want it to come back. And so we go, well, that's an awfully big book to go looking for the answers. So we sort of discount God's word as God's voice to us in our crisis, in our time of need. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true, circle that, and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, helps us do what is right, helps us make the right decisions. It's God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. It's not only there to tell us what to do and what not to do, tell us when we're wrong and tell us when we're right. It also tells us where we should go. Listen to Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I want you to hear this. God speaks clearly in his word. We often want God to speak in the storm. We want God to speak in the clouds. We want God to speak in the fire. We want God to speak through a donkey or a burning bush. We want God to speak in some crazy outlandish way to really audibly communicate to us. And God says, I literally wrote it down. So you could read it, and you could read it again, and you could read it again, and you could read it again. Do you know why songs stick with us? Is because we sing them over and over and over again. When we have the radio on in the car, Carson's usually the only one that rides with us anywhere. Caleb lives on his own, and Cole has his own car and doesn't want to be around his parents at all. And so Carson's the only one. And I just listen, and every single song that's on the radio, he knows every word to. Can I tell you, he didn't learn those by listening to them once? Either that or he's a savant and can just remember everything he only hears once. Or he's heard it over and over and over and over again. As if we read the word of God and we study the word of God and we read it again and again and again, it's almost as if God can speak to us through his word. It's almost as if the message, it's almost as if the word of God, it's almost as if the answers that we're seeking, because can I tell you this? Almost every question you have to ask God, the answer is already in his word. How should I deal with this person? And God begins to ask through his word, what are your motives? What are the things that you're struggling with? Well, this is a person that I hate. And the Bible says to hate someone is to be a murderer, and the murderers don't inherit the kingdom of God. Do you need God to come out and just say, don't hate that person? Don't hate Phil at work. Don't hate Phil. Phil Johnson, don't hate him. Do you need God to say that? Or can God just in his word say that hate is like murder? And Jesus said, you've heard it said that thou shalt not commit murder, but I tell you, you should not hate your brother because it is as if you've murdered him in your heart. Can that be the answer? And to know his word is to know the answers of God. We don't always like going to God's word, and here's why. Number two, if I want to hear the voice of God clearly in my life, I have to be honest about my motives. We almost never question our own motives. But you should question your motives all the time. You should question your motives more than you should question anyone else's motives. Here's why. We don't go to God's word for the standards by which we should live our lives and for the answers that we claim we want from him because we're afraid we already know what he's going to say. Let me say that again. You don't go to God's word. You would rather read the tea leaves. You'd rather wait to hear God speak to you through your television set. You want some kind of crazy experience so that you can discern it and so that you can sort of interpret it rather than see it written right there in black and white what God has to say about it. Because you and I, according to social standards and social norms, according to where culture is going, we like to live our lives according to those standards because guess what? You can get away with anything in our culture. You can be absolutely anybody you want. You do not have to have a moral compass to be accepted here. To live by the standards of the world is to be able to do anything you want. So we don't want to go to God's word and hear him say, you know that's wrong, right? You know you're not supposed to do that. You know that doing that moves you away from your highest and best. Yeah, God, but everybody's doing it. This is accepted widely. The church should catch up. The word of God should catch up. We don't want to go to God's word because we know what he's going to say. I hear people all the time say, God wants me to be happy. No. God wants you to be whole and healthy, and whole and healthy makes you happy. You can be happy for some really terrible reasons. And then you'll be crushed and devastated, and it will take away the core of who God has made you to be. God would rather you experience health and wholeness and growth so that you can experience your highest and best, and that you can experience happiness through experiencing your highest and best. We want to shortcut it, though. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God, you see, is alive and moving. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the divide between the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the will of the heart. Wouldn't it be cool if we all had some sort of app on our iPhone, and if someone asked us a question, we could just watch them through this, like, camera, and it showed, like, these, like, shadings of them, kind of like, you know, a 3D image of, like, kind of an X-ray type deal, and you could see their motives at work. Like when your kids, like my kids ask this, hey dad, do you want to go to Ruth's Chris and spend a bunch of money on dinner? Or do you want to go to, like, I don't know, like Chicago Fire and hardly spend anything compared to what we'd spend at Ruth's Chris? Here's what they're doing. They're giving me two poor options, but I have to pick the lesser of the poor options, right? Here's what they're really trying to ask. We want to go to Chicago Fire, but we know it's expensive, and so we're going to give you a really terrible scenario and then a sort of not so terrible scenario, and we're going to hope you pick the... What they really should be asking is, Dad, we want to go to Chicago Fire, but we know you're not going to let us, so can we still go? And I'd go, no, because we've got a Taco Bell budget, so either get ready for a delicious beefy potato Rito or make yourself a bologna sandwich because we're not going to Chicago Fire. That's what you wish you could do with people when they ask you for something, when they're talking to you. You wish you could see your motives. And I want to tell you that God can see yours. You have to ask yourself this question. The Bible says that God uses the word to help us discern our own motives, because you have to ask, when you're going to God in prayer, why do you want an answer for him? Why are you asking him for something? You're demanding an answer. You're praying for an answer. God, answer me. Is that so that you don't have to trust him anymore? You know how your kids would ask you, hey, can I go to this party? Can I go to this sleepover? And you say, well, your mom and I will talk about it. And they want an answer right there. I have to tell them if I'm coming or not. Well, we're not going to tell you right now. We're going to talk about it. They hate that they don't have a definitive answer. You and I often want a definitive answer so that we don't have to trust God for our... God, how are you going to solve this financial problem in our lives? Tell me. Just tell me. Tell me and I'll trust you. We don't want to wait for the answer. God, how are you going to heal this broken marriage? Because maybe God wants us to discover how to heal our broken marriage. Maybe God's asking, well, what do you think you can do to heal this broken marriage? How are you going to heal this sickness, God? I want to be able to just go and know that it's taken care of. I don't want to have to worry about that. And God says, wait, I told you not to. I said, don't worry about a thing, pray about everything. Don't worry about a thing, pray about everything. Don't worry about a thing, pray about everything. How easy is that? You trust me. Trust that I'm your healer. Trust that I took stripes on my back, that my body was broken so that your body could be whole. Trust that. Do I want God to answer me so that I no longer have to trust in him? Or is it because I want a stamp of approval on something I'm already doing? There are people who have told me that God's okay with them living together and not being married. You can imagine my task at hand when I have to go, no, God isn't okay. Well, I've prayed about it. I have peace about it. I don't know what to tell you. You're not hearing God. That's not the voice of God in your life. Your motives in asking God that question have led you to a conclusion that simply doesn't line up with his word. That can't possibly be true. Sometimes we like to just ask God a question and we want an answer immediately so that we can move out of a conversation with him, so that we can get on to doing whatever we were doing. Like when your kids come to you and go, can I go to this party? And you go, well, who's going to be there? Oh, man, can I tell you, your teenagers hate when you ask questions. Who's going to be there? Just a bunch of people from school. Or if they're really smart, they'll say a bunch of people from church. And then you're like, well, that sounds like a fun activity. You go and have a good time, sweetie. Right? But you say, well, are their parents going to be there? Yeah. Can I have their number so I can call and check? But yeah. They don't want to stay in that conversation very long. They don't want you asking questions because they don't want the truth about why they're doing this to be revealed. They just need your permission. They want to get out of that conversation as soon as possible. See, God wants us to think about the choices that we're making. Think about the path that we're taking. I want you to listen to this. Maybe you could even write this down somewhere. God cares about us becoming what he created us to be more than whether we're getting what we want or not. God wants you to experience your highest and best more than he wants you to experience what you want in that moment. He's more concerned about growing you into the creation that he destined you to be than he is about fulfilling your wish list in the moment. It's much, much, much easier to hear the voice of God in your life when your motives are right. When you truly want the will of God, I want you to listen to me, God will tell you his will. Jesus himself said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Hardest thing he could have possibly prayed, because he knew that God's will did not line up with his will at that time. Nobody wants to go through pain. Nobody wants to go through misery. Nobody wants to be abused. Nobody wants to go through the kind of things that Jesus had to go through. And you might say this, God, I want your will as long as your will's easy and I don't have to go through any pain. And then don't be surprised if God's silent. Third is this, if I want to hear the voice of God clearly in my life, I have to listen for him to speak to me even when I'm not asking for anything. I have to listen for him to speak to me even when I'm not asking. If I were to say the name Paul Marcarelli, I doubt that any of you would go, I know Paul. But if I were to say to you, the can you hear me now guy, immediately, you know who I'm talking about. The glasses, the dark hair. For 10 years, he worked for Verizon asking, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? 10 years, we heard Paul ask, can you hear me now? Then he went to work for Sprint saying, do you remember when I used to say, can you hear me now, for Verizon? Kind of an interesting question, really. Not to get into a semantics debate with Verizon, but hearing is an involuntary response to sound waves. As I'm speaking, I'm creating with my own voice and then through an amplification system, I'm creating sound waves that make it nearly impossible for you, unless you have hearing loss, not to hear the sound waves. Sound waves are going out, they're being interpreted, received by your eardrums, which vibrate and then translate into your brain as something, intelligible noises, unintelligible noises, the sound of animals, music, whatever it happens to be. Hearing is an involuntary response to sound waves being created around us. So almost all of us hear all of the time. Listening, on the other hand, is a completely different thing. Listening is the attentiveness, the purposeful focus that you give to what you're hearing. Wives, you know the difference between hearing and listening. Your husbands hear everything you say, right? Know that they always listen. Scientifically proven that men, very difficult to focus on two audible stimuli at the same time. So if they're watching football and listening to the announcer, tell them what they can already see with their own eyes, mind you. And you are talking about where you're going to be going in an hour and that he needs to get up and get ready. I can assure you in 55 minutes, he'll still be sitting in that exact same spot. Because listening would be a voluntary, purposeful reaction by him or by any of us to give our full attention to something that we are hearing. And we're pretty good hearers. We're just not very good listeners. And the reason is this, because we listen for what we're interested in. Your brain's processing sound around you all the time. There's things happening in this room that have nothing to do with what I'm saying. And if you're focused on what I'm saying, then you're disregarding the slight vibration of the vents as the air conditioning's running or somebody rustling pages or opening up a cough drop. And you have the ability to tune all of that out because you're not purposely listening for any of that because it's not of interest to you. And some of you magically are even tuning me out, right? You're not listening. Everybody who's not listening, raise your hand. You see, God is speaking all the time. God speaks in our circumstances. God speaks clearly in his word. God speaks in the stillness of our heart. God speaks through people. When we refer to the prophetic, we don't refer to the fortune-telling kind of prophetic that we all think of. Well, he was a prophet, therefore he told the future. There is an office in the Bible called a prophet who works in the prophetic gifts and foretells what God's going to do in the future. But listen, to speak prophetically is to simply relay God's real-time voice in a real-time situation. And God puts people in your life all the time to speak prophetically to you. See, God's talking all the time. And listen, more importantly, God has put inside of you, listen, as a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The very presence of God dwells inside of you and works as an amplification system of God's voice in your life and as your spiritual eardrum. So he's doing all the work for you. He both speaks the voice of God, the truth of God the Father, and then translates it like an eardrum does and speaks it to your heart. The question is, are you listening to the voice of God? And that's much, much different. The Spirit of truth will come and guide you. John 16, 13 through 15. The Spirit of truth will come and guide you. He will not speak his own words to you. He will only speak what he hears, revealing to you the things that come and bring glory to me. The Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, has unlimited access to me. To all that I possess and know, just as everything the Father has is mine. That's the reason I'm confident he will care for my own and reveal the path to you. In other words, Jesus says there is absolutely no reason that you should not know the will of God in your life because The will of God is being plainly spoken to you through the Holy Spirit who is in you. The Holy Spirit is constantly relaying God's truth to you. God is not silent. God is speaking to you. The question is whether we're listening. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." You ever pulled over in Lincoln? For all those who are watching online, in Lincoln, people move herds of sheep and herds of goats around. You have to actually pay. Did you know that? You have to pay to have them come. When we used to own property on Highway 193, when the church owned property there, we were going to have them come over. We thought they'd do it for free because it feeds their animals. No, you pay lots of money. And so we were like, we got a lawnmower. We'll just mow it. So we have them all around here, and they just put hundreds in. And have you ever stopped and gone up to them? They don't like you. They don't like me. They only know who their shepherds are. And I can call them out. I'm like, come here. Right? Like they're dogs. And they're like, oh, okay. So they don't come to me when I call them, no matter what voice I do it in. And even if I were to say the things that the shepherd says, they won't listen to me. They only respond to the voice of the shepherd. And they can come and they can make their little noises and they can say their things, and those animals come running to them. Do you know why? Because they have from birth been trained to listen to that voice and know that that voice is associated with provision and safety and care. They love the shepherd. The shepherd is who takes care of them. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice because they know I'll take care of them." Whether it's in the written word of God, whether it's God speaking in my heart, whether it's God speaking prophetically through someone. And by the way, anytime somebody speaks to you, if it doesn't line up with the written word of God, it is not the word of God, right? So if I say something from the platform or somebody says something to you that does not line up with God's written word, it is not true. So whether it doesn't matter where it's coming from, you have the ability to tune that out or receive that. And then finally, you get to do this. If I want to hear the voice of God clearly in my life, I have to pray and obey. The founding pastor of the largest church in the world, Paul Youngie Cho. Church estimated between 850,000 and 1 million people. They had to put a limit on how many times you could come to church in a month because they could not serve the needs of all the people. They have a prayer chapel that seats over 10,000 people just for people to come in and pray. Largest church in the world. When asked what it is that he did that facilitated the growth of this church, where he could attribute his success to, his answer was amazingly and perfectly simple. He says, "I pray and I obey." I love that. I pray and I obey. One of the greatest frustrations for me as a pastor is when somebody asks me for counsel or coaching. Somebody wants to sit down and hear from me biblical coaching on maybe a decision that they need to make or wisdom that they need to apply to a situation. And I see them get up from that place and I ask them about it later and hear that they did the exact opposite or just completely ignored that coaching. And then they say, "Hey, can we set up another time to talk?" I'm like, "No. Why would I? You don't want to listen. You either want me to affirm what you were already going to do, and if I didn't, you just go, well, that's not good advice, and you got up and walked away." You see, and I'm just a man. I'm not saying all my advice is perfect. What I am telling you is when we talk to God and say, "Lord, help me with this," and we pray for his wisdom, and we pray, and God says, "This is what you need to do," and we go, that doesn't sound right. We go and do our own thing. Can I tell you why God will talk to you all the time? Is every time you come to him and say, "Lord, tell me what to do," and he tells you and you go do it. Can I tell you that God's going to speak to you again because God loves faithfulness and God always rewards obedience. God always rewards obedience. You want to know who hears the voice of God? Those who obey the voice of God. So if you want to hear from God how to fix a broken marriage, if you want to hear from God how broken bodies can be made whole, if you want to hear how shattered hearts can be restored, how lost finances can be added back, if you want to know the heart of God, then you have to be willing to obey the voice of God. God's part is to speak to, His role is to speak to us. As His creation, He speaks to us, and God's faithfully doing His part. Listen to what it says. The entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your right rulings will surely last forever. Our role is to obey without exception. How many times have you asked your little children to do something and they didn't understand the cause or the reason behind it? You tell them to do something to stay out of trouble, to stay out of harm's way, to stay out of danger. They don't believe that they're in danger as they go running towards the road. I watched this mom as we were coming out of Kohl's, Kohl's department store. And this mom was, and she was, you know, like moms are, overwhelmed with all the activity of her little ones. And she opens the door and she's got a very little one who's holding her hand, and she's got a toddler or kind of a preschooler who just giggling and laughing, having the time of her life, a happy child, thinks about running to her car and getting into her car seat and, I don't know, trying on the new shoes she just bought. Whatever was on her mind, it was not safety, and she began to jet towards the road. And the mom very lovingly called out her name. And the little girl didn't respond as she was closing in on the end of this walkway and getting close to the parking lot. She called out her name again, and then the mom's voice changed. And it became this shrieking shrill in which I ran back onto the sidewalk. I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. Right? That little girl didn't know. She didn't fathom the idea that some inattentive driver could be racing down, not looking out for her, and her little short body couldn't be seen over the hood of the car, and she could have gotten hurt seriously or even killed. She didn't even imagine that for a minute, just as you and I cannot see ahead of ourselves even to the end of this day. You don't have the ability to know what's going to happen in the next 30 seconds, much less what's going to happen in the next 30 years. But God sees the entirety of your life. He wants you to prosper in your life. He wants you to be blessed in your life. He wants you to be healthy in your life. He wants you to have a flourishing marriage in your life. He wants you to be whole in your life. And so when God tells you to do something, you just obey. That's all you have to do. Jesus said, the people who hear the teaching of God and obey it, they are the ones who have God's blessing. You want to live a blessed life? You want to live God's highest and best in your life? All you have to do is continue to receive the sound waves of God's voice, attentively give your attention to it, listening to His voice, and then obey Him. Even if it doesn't make, especially if it doesn't make sense to you. His word will tell you, His voice will tell you, times like this will tell you to do things that contradict your flesh, that push back on what you want. Listen, never trust your motives. Never trust your heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says, above all things. Never trust yourself. Always trust God. If you want to know what God has in store for you, look at His word. Look all throughout His word and see God fight for humanity harder than humanity ever fought for itself. I want to tell you this. God loves you more than you love yourself. God loves your kids more than you love your kids. God loves your marriage more than you love your marriage. God is working harder for you than you're working for yourself. Trust Him. His motives aren't to ruin your life. Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of Babylon, captivity in Babylon, God says to His people, I know the plans I have for you. They're to prosper you and help you and bless you, not to hurt you and harm you. I know you're looking at your circumstances wondering where I am, and I'm telling you, I'm here at the end of this season. I'm going to restore to you blessings and protection and safety and wholeness and health. I'm here for you. My favorite passage in all of Scripture, because I believe it summarizes the very heart of God. It says, "Brethren, I pray that you would prosper in all things, be in good health, just as your soul prospers." God wants you to be in a flourishing relationship with Him so that everything can fall in place. When you hear God and you listen to God and you obey God, things go well. Doesn't mean your life's spared of difficulty. It means that you get through that difficulty more whole than you went in, better off than you went in, more blessed than you went in. I'm not telling you that you're not going to have struggles in your finances or struggles in your marriage. What I'm telling you is it's better to go into those with the hope, knowing that God's already provided the answers and all you need to do is pray and obey. God's not going to leave you out there in the dark. God's not going to stay silent as you cry out. If you look at David's writings throughout Psalms, he just keeps crying out, keeps crying out, keeps crying out, as if God has completely abandoned him. Sometimes we hear the voice of our hurts more than we hear the voice of God. I'm telling you, fight to hear the voice of God in your life. It's worth it. God will be heard if you want to hear God in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? We're going to call out to him together today. I want to ask a question. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to begin a relationship today with him. You don't have to do anything to impress me. You don't have to come high five. You don't have to go through some class. The Bible says that as Jesus knocks at the door of your heart, if you will open that door to him, he will come in. He will befriend you. It says he will sit and dine with you. Sometimes eating together is one of the most intimate things that we can do. We just talk to each other and we're real in front of each other. And Jesus says, "I want that kind of relationship with you." If that's you, just as you are, Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. You say, "Yeah, I'm going to open that door to him this morning." With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just stick your hand up and say, "Yeah, that's me. I want a relationship with Christ today. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you." You can put him back down. Thank you. There's no other shoe that's going to drop. There's no trick. I'm not asking you to come up here. I want to pray for you. As a matter of fact, I want to pray with you. If in the silence of your heart, you'll just pray this along as if you're praying this yourself. These are your words. "Christ Jesus, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I know you already know me. I know you know every thought of mine. I know you know every decision I've made. I know you know everything I've done. And I'm asking for your forgiveness for everything I've ever done that separated me from you and separated me from becoming who you created me to be. I want to start new life today. I want to begin a relationship with you today. I want to open the door of my heart to you today, because I want to live up to my highest and best potential, and that means living as you created me to live. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you talking to me. I want to know your word. And as Jesus said, I want to know your voice. And so if you accept me just the way I am, I'll come to you just as I am. I begin new life in you today." Now, with head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just say, "I want to hear God's voice in my life. I'm going to fight for it. I want it. I'm going to listen for God's voice in my life. And when he speaks, I'm going to obey. That's my commitment to him today. In Jesus' name, I'm going to do that." If that's you, would you just raise your hands as well? Yeah. God, give us that boldness. Give us that courage. There'll be some, God, who simply don't want to do that. It'll mean changing of their life. It'll mean doing things differently. It'll mean sacrificing. It'll mean putting aside selfish desires. There's some that won't. But for those who will, God, it'll change everything. It'll revolutionize their life. And I'm praying for all of us, God, that raised our hands. to know your voice like the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.